Hello, you tuned into Great Tracks and Sidetracks with Peter Fleming on Coast Access 104.7. Slightly different start to the show today, but here's Santana just to get us in the mood for a good programme of good music.
Once in your life, you find her, someone who turns your heart around.
pressure.
David Bowie, of course. Right, it's time, I think, to have a look at the Express and see what we've got. This actually is from a Daily Express, which I bought in the UK when I was on holiday there a few weeks ago. Didn't find much in it, but similar sort of stories to what we get out of the International Express, obviously. So here we are. Here's some interesting information. And it's a little section. It's called It's Happy Daves and Sad Sues. Britain's happiest people are called Dave, but Susans, Victors and Karens are likely to be miserable. Don't take these too literally. A poll says, a happiness index survey of 2,000 people said those named Dave were the most jovial they had met, ahead of Katie, Charlie and Emily. But possibly in a nod to one foot in the grave's grumpy Victor Meldrew, people with that name tended to be the most miserable. Nigel was joint second in the Killjoy Stakes with Susan and Karen. Oh dear. However, despite their grumpy stereotype, 44% said Northerners were the UK's happiest, compared with Southerners at 17%. Fridays at 5 p.m. in the afternoon was the most cheery moment of the week, and the nation's happy place was a holiday beach. But I'm afraid that only 4% said their dad was the person who brought them the most joy, compared with 18% who chose their mums. I wonder what the rest of it was, you know, the 78% or so that we don't hear about there. Anyway, so there we are. There's a bit of useless information for you. And if you are called Susan, Victor or Karen, well, I wouldn't worry about it too much. You know who your friends are. Now, as I said, we had In the Shallows in here in the studio last week, causing havoc, most enjoyable. And so just to remind you of the sound, here's Danny and the rest of the group with Remember Me.
We don't talk anymore, lights trapped in the front door before you left me. Tears running down my face, you offer an embrace before you left me be. Tell what's on your mind, always hiding behind what you want me to see. See, you don't know who you are, so how'd you get this far, my baby? Say one thing into another, what's the reality? I ain't got time to hold grudges, we can do much better. Can't hurt you from afar.
Oh,
Danny Davis. Now, if I've not upset you too much about what your names are, here's another article out of the same issue of the paper, which is Spot Signs of Children with Psychic Abilities. Children often do quirky things, especially when they're little, but does your child's behaviour ever seem strange or unsettling? Well, there's a lady called Cassandra Eason, and she's written a book called The Psychic Power of Children. And she's come up with a list of questions which might tick some boxes for you or might not. So she, it's a checklist of 10 things which could indicate that your child may be psychic. Listen to this. Number one, knows what you're thinking. Number two, tells you who's on the phone when it rings. Number three, gets upset or refuses to go into certain buildings. Later you discover a tragedy has occurred in this place. Creepy. Number four, says an elderly man or woman visits at night to chat. Number five, talks in detail about where and when they've lived before. Number six, plays with an invisible friend. I don't think that's unusual, is it? Number seven, often sees shining lights or colours around people. Number eight, chats about events in dreams which later happen. Number nine, loves animals and may bring sick ones home to help them. And number 10, has warned you about a car coming around a corner too fast or has other premonitions. Well, you've only got to answer yes to three or more signs, and it suggests your child is likely to fit into some psychic categories. So, there we are. I'll leave you that one as well.
Should have seen by the look in my eyes, baby, there was something missing. You should have known by the tone of my voice, maybe, but you didn't listen. You played dead, but you never bled. Instead, you I know all about those men.
REO Speedwagon. Now, Jeremy Clarkson probably used to be a name that was known to just the people who used to listen to Top Gear. Well, of course, over the past few years, he's expanded his popularity, and he's pretty much a household name now, particularly with his program since he started his farm and filming on there and producing documentaries about life on trying to make a living from a farm. And not a small farm, it's pretty big. And of course, it's caught public attention, and he's opened our eyes tremendously to the plight of farmers and the risky sort of life that they lead, because they're always at the beck and call of the weather and local councils, it appears, with Jeremy as well. But anyway, he's branched out into the pub business, as you probably know, and I guess he could say that to any publicity is good publicity in his case. So he's been receiving quite a bit of criticism about the price of meals. He always advertised that he wanted to open a pub selling British goods, and that meant everything he sold on the plate in the restaurant, that would be meat, the eggs, the milk, the butter, everything like that. And I think we all think that's a great idea. We all applaud that, whatever, fantasy, until you get the bill. So Clarkson has beef with £24 pie belly acre. Well, don't forget, £24 is $48. Jeremy Clarkson has bitten back after a customer complained about the £24 cost of his pub's pies. He stoked a social media hullabaloo. Well, it would do, yeah. The farmer, publican and ex-Top Gear host replied, "Have you seen beef prices right now? If you could make it for less, I'll give you a job." When another fan questioned if the steak came from his own cows, Jeremy, 65, responded, "Some are, but most come from other farmers in the area, and we pay a premium. We're here to back British farming. If you don't want to do that, fine. Enjoy your chlorine." He also adds here, this is sort of the information that you don't normally think about, facts that go along with a celebrity running a pub. He spoke of cash woes at his farmer's dog pub in the Cotswolds last year, saying one Sunday, 104 glasses went missing, and that cost must be added to the £100 a day we spend on fuel for the generator, the £400 a week it costs to provide warmth on the terrace, and the £27,000 a month. £27,000 a month we must spend on parking and traffic marshals to keep the council off our back. That's a bit of a strange figure, that is, isn't it? I mean, some company appears to be making an awful lot of money at £27,000 a month just to provide parking and traffic marshals. Anyway, that's what it says in the paper, so that's what I believe. Anyway, Jeremy continues to be in the news, and if you're fortunate enough to have Amazon Prime, I'm sure you're up to date with the latest series. It's series 4 of Clarkson's Farm. Very entertaining, very enlightening.
Yeah.
Ultravox there, fabulous sound. Now then, you're listening to me, Peter Fleming, with Great Tracks and Sidetracks, and I'm broadcasting live from the Coast Access Studios in Waikanae on 104.7, and this programme goes out every Wednesday at 12:30 till 2, or is available on podcasts if you go to the Coast Access website. And the sidetracks are items out of the International Express. And here's one. I think you might be familiar with this sort of thing. I know I am. Every Sunday night, it always seems to be Sunday night, and it's time to put out the rubbish. Well, this is the UK we're talking about here. This is residents lumbered with up to 11 bins. Householders are being burdened by an increasingly complicated and confusing rubbish sorting system, which with one council offering up to 11 bins. Most areas across the UK, 53%, have three or fewer. But residents in Conwy, North Wales, are into double figures for waste disposal. There are separate bins for paper and card, glass, plastic, cans and aerosols, textiles, absorbent hygiene products, coffee pods, batteries, mobile phones, food, garden waste and general refuse. So they say households across the UK are being burdened by an increasingly complicated and confusing waste separation system. Well, I don't know about you. I mean, if I think about it, we seem to have quite a few containers these days. We've got the basic waste container, which is a small wheelie bin. And then there's the recycling bin. We pay extra for a compost bin. There's the box for the glass bottles. Then we have an ice cream container for bottle caps and a box for flattened out Tetra Paks, which go to the recycling place down the road. And then there's also the soft plastics, which go in a bag and go to the bins in the supermarket. So if you top those, that's about 8 or 9, isn't it? So price now it mounts up. Apparently the UK is trying to come under a standardisation system. Under reforms, households and businesses will get 4 containers by default, allowing the public to recycle the same materials across England and no longer need to check what is accepted locally. Well, of course, that's what we're all after, isn't it? Some kind of standardisation. And Otter Hanger, of course, is the place which accepts bottle tops and flattened Tetra Paks. So Conway County Borough Council has one of the highest, this is interesting, one of the highest recycling rates at an average of 70%. And they're one of the people with 11 bins. While 58 authorities with 2 bins had an average rate of just 36%. And some 134 councils with 3 containers had an average rate of 41%. In comparison, 2 authorities with 10 bins got an average of 66%. So there's a bit of a trade-off, apparently, according to the figures. It might be of a nuisance to have lots of bins, but the recycling rate is much better if you do. And quite frankly, it's not that much problem, is it? To certainly, it comes to soft plastics, bottle caps and things that don't take up that much space. But anyway, it'll soon be Sunday night again, I'm sure. Now, Friday night, got a bit of a treat. We booked tickets ages ago to go and see 10cc. Yes, the 10cc, who are performing in Wellington at I think it's the Opera House. It's either St James or the Opera House, I believe, on Friday night. Anyway, I don't suppose there's any tickets left. You never know. You might be lucky. So we're booked to go there. So I'll tell you all about that next week. Should be a good night.
I went to a party. Sergeant Baker started talking with a bullhorn in his hand. He was cool, he was clear, he was always in command.
Always in command, always in command.
He said, blood will flow here, Padre. Padre, you talk to your boys. Trust in me.
Now, we're strange people, aren't we, human beings? And we sort of throw coins into wells or things. We throw coins into fountains because it's supposed to be lucky. We clip padlocks onto bridges. And I suppose hooting in the terrace tunnel is another oddity that people just do. So this is a plea from the National Trust in the UK. Tourists at the Giant's Causeway are being begged by the National Trust to stop a popular ritual at the World Heritage Site. Because coins wedged or even hammered into cracks in the world-famous basalt rock columns will cost the charity more than £30,000, $60,000, to remove. So the National Trust is now appealing for people to stop the habit to protect the Northern Ireland landmark and to leave no trace during a visit. But fancy having to get to that extreme. What do people think they're doing? So somebody from the from there, from the National Trust, said, we know some may want to leave a token of their visit. Why? But the coins are causing damage and we urge people to stop the practice so this natural wonder remains special for future generations. A report by the British Geological Survey concluded that coins jammed into the joints and cracks in the rock are detrimental to the basalt, basically and aesthetically, as they expand when they oxidise. Dr. Henry explained, the report found that fracturing and disintegration of the basalt rock adjacent to joints and cracks into which coins have been inserted is the result of the, I quote, expansive delamination of the coins upon oxidation. The coins are rusting and expanding to three times their original thickness. This puts huge pressure on the surrounding rock, causing it to crumble. Unsightly streaks of copper, nickel and iron oxides are also staining at the stones as coins are corroding. Terrible, isn't it? I mean, why do people sort of feel that you're supposed to take things away with you, not leave them behind? Now you take your photographs and your memories, or at least they're not, people aren't chipping bits off them and taking them away and sort of destroying them completely. But strange things that, well, people do because other people do it, I suppose. Oh well.
your blood like winter freezes just like ice. And there's a cold and lonely light that shines from you. You wind up like the wreck you hide behind that mask you use. And did you think this fool could never win? Well, look at me, I'm coming back again. I got a taste of love in a simple way. And if you need to know while I'm still standing, you just fade away. Don't you know I'm still standing better than I ever did? Looking like a true survivor, feeling like a little kid. And I'm still standing after all this time, picking up the pieces of my life without you on my mind. I'm still standing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I'm still standing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Once I never could have hoped to win, you're stopping down the road leaving me again. The threats you made were meant to cut me down. And if my love was just a circus, you'd be a clown by now. No, I'm still standing better than I ever did. Looking like a true survivor, feeling like a little kid. I'm still standing after all this time, picking up the pieces of my life without you on my mind. I'm still standing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I'm still standing.
And just to whet your appetite a little bit more, just to make you feel even more envious, because I'm going to see 10cc live on Friday. Here they are again.
Trucking right, I heard a dark voice beside of me, and I looked round in a state of fright. I saw four faces, one man, a brother from the gutter. They looked me up and down a bit and turned to each other.
Understand that you're alone. Alone. I heard a dark voice beside me say, would you like something harder? She said, I got it, you want it, my harvest is the best, and if you try it, you'll like it. I'm wallowing a dreadlock holiday.
Now, I suppose we all like to think that we're experts at barbecuing, being Kiwis and living down here in New Zealand. Just a little few words of warning here. Barbecue myths consigned to the flames. The barbecuing myths that dirt adds flavour and flames kill germs are dangerous health risks, an expert warns. Around a quarter of adults wrongly believe their grill is clean after a scrape, and almost as many never clean the rest of their barbecue. About 1 in 10 think it's fine to use the same utensils to pick up raw and cooked food. This is a poll of 2,000 people as usual. Professor Christopher Elliott of the Institute for Global Food Security at Queen's University Belfast, who is consulting with Oven Pride Cleaner, said, "A dirty grill is a serious health risk. The belief that fire sterilises everything is a myth. Some bacteria like E. coli and Salmonella can survive if the grill isn't properly cleaned. High heat doesn't guarantee a clean service, and when that grease builds up, it scorches your food and can even start a fire." So there we are, be warned. I mean, I think I'm one of the ones that, well, I tend to rely to a certain, I mean, I clean the barbecue pretty well, and then I think, well, I'll finish it off once it's hot. Nothing's going to survive that. I'm not aware that anybody's been ill. Perhaps I'll be a bit more careful in the future. Well, I know I pushed 10cc's a bit this week, but I'm going to do it finer because this is a nice long track rounding off the end of the show. So I think this will last until the end of the show, if all being well. So this is Peter Fleming saying bye for now. As I say, I apologise for a slightly husky voice. I don't know quite what the matter, but it's still working. And I'll be back at the same time next week. Hope you've enjoyed the show. And you can always catch up on it by listening to our podcast. Bye for now.
Just a silly phase I'm going through, and just because I call you up, don't get me wrong, don't think you got it made. I'm not in love, no, no. I'm not alone.
This programme was made with assistance from New Zealand On Air for radio broadcast and through the Access Media website. Thank you, New Zealand On Air.